You say it there, yeah, yeah.
What do you, you've done that before, but like, what does that mean?
They like, come and we wanna go home.
Oh, that's that song and with the bananas, right?
We say they, we say they, we say they. They like, come and we wanna go home. Hi, dear.
Hi, dear.
How's it going?
It's okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I feel weird.
Because I've been away for a while.
You've been away for a while, but this will be the first episode that we record back together. Yeah. So it's going to seem like we have to get back into the groove and get some of like the rust off of like our gears, because it's been a while since we have recorded an episode together. And while I've been editing and putting up episodes while you've been gone, mm-hmm. they haven't been new episodes.
No, we recorded them back in like April and May.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while since I've seen Evan. Anyway.
We're going to do that AO again. I thought you were moving into that.
So. No, it's the song. It's been a while.
You always say that one bit of the song, but yeah. I never know.
It's a Critical Role reference.
Oh my God. Because they sing?
No, I think like just Travis Willingham started doing it every time Matt Mercer started saying it's been a while.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that.
There's a lot to unpack there. Anyway, yeah, I have, stuff. We're in the summer. We're in the summer anime season, right?
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, summer anime season, or are you saying summer con season?
Anime season. Like, all of the spring releases are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Demon Slayer, My Hero. A couple new ones that have come out that, like, I guess Solo Leveling was more of a winter, spring release.
Yeah, you guys just didn't watch it until the spring.
Yeah, but I just didn't. But it was all out by the time I watched it, so that was fun. True. But it got me kind of thinking. The one simple factor that a show needs for you to enjoy it. Because for our listeners at home and away.
As you do.
The gym, in the car, wherever you be. The one thing that I need for a show to enjoy is like a character.
Yeah.
I need a character that I relate to and that I really like for me to like genuinely be able to get into a show. Even if the show is trash, I will, if I can find one character that I'm like, this is who I'm rooting for.
Is it you're rooting for them because you can relate to them, or is it just you root for them because
sometimes
something?
They're both. Depends on the show.
Is this that kinning thing?
No,
it's
don't.
It's not the kinning thing.
I don't kin characters.
Oh, yeah. I think we did the math on that. Yeah, actually, for all of the properties that you've consumed, you don't really kin any character.
Yeah. I think the closest I got was My Hero with Marco.
Who's Marco?
Not My Hero. Back on Titan.
Oh, shit, whoa.
It's like, is there someone in my present, Mike?
Oh, okay.
But even then,
that's not like a kinship. Yeah.
No, it's just like a.
Is it kinship or is it just kin?
Kin comes from kinship.
Okay. You have kinship with this person.
And so you kin it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I thought about it. I think I know what makes for me a show that's good. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this. It's actually, no, it's not. This makes the show fantastic, but it's my foot in the door for a show.
Okay.
My foot in the door for shows is whether or not I can buy into the world, right? If I can buy in to whatever the world's level of absurdity is, mm-hmm. then like I'm in, right? Back in the day with My Hero, I think that they make it very clear that this is a world full of people with powers. A lot of them are useless, right? But there are also a lot of them that are useful, and then those guys become heroes and like this and that. And I'm like, I get it.
Or they're just real determined.
Yeah, and it took place in like a version of Earth, right? Because there's a Japan, there's an America, there's countries and like whatever. And so like, I can kind of make it like work, like it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But there are other worlds that I'm like, I can't buy into this level of ridiculous, right?
What was one of them?
Right off the top, I don't want to lose fans over this, but it's JoJo's. Like JoJo's, there's always one aspect of each part, and I've seen all of the animated parts of JoJo's. I have seen all of them. There's always one thing that I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense, right? And it's always just
I know in part 6, it was weather controls like snails.
Yeah, the weather stand guy can like they talk about his power as though it like because it affects weather, it can create acid illusions. Acid rain was one, but then also like it creates like illusions with like air.
That was their explanation.
But here's somebody's gonna correct me. I hope someone does, but
get in the comments. Branley Mulligan.
Get in the comments. I really think that for me it's like, okay, so if it's an illusion, then why does it have physical effects on the world, right? Because then like people touch the snails and something happens to them. Right. I don't remember what it was, but they either like die or like they disintegrate or something like that. I'm like, but the snails are fake. I thought that the whole thing was that the snails are fake.
Maybe they're made of acid fakeness. Like he mixes air and acid rain.
And it was like a big deal that you don't touch the snails, right? And I don't know. And that was weird, man.
Weather control also have like amnesia the entire time.
Yeah, up until like that point. When he gets his memories back, he realizes, oh my God, I have to kill my brother thing. Mm-hmm. And when he's like, I have to kill my brother, that's when he's like, oh, snails, that's how I'll do it. That's how I'll get him. I'm going to throw a bunch of snails at the problem. I don't really understand. I really don't get it. That's one. Trying to think of another world that I'm just like...
An example of like, it wasn't the world, it was the character for you was It's Given.
Oh my God, man. Oh my God. I couldn't buy in because I was like, there's no way that this kid...
Mafia, the main character in Given, spoiler alert, deeply traumatized...
And gifted.
From like...
He's...
A past history of like physical domestic abuse, neglect, and also... Finding his boyfriend committed suicide after an argument with him.
Yeah, tragic. Anyways, so my thing with that is that...
tragic, moving on.
Yeah, that's sad, right? And that, like, if that permeated the show a little bit more, I'd be more into it. But, like, he's just he starts out the show an airhead for no reason at all. We, the audience, don't know, and his fellow band people don't know. And then all of a sudden, like, and every time that somebody says something, I don't know if this is a dub thing or not, but every time that someone says something to him, he's like, what? And it's like, oh, yeah, so we're going to get you an amplifier. Amplifier? Brother, you have a guitar. You know what a fucking amplifier is.
It's not his guitar.
No, it doesn't matter. You've seen him. You've seen people play. You know what an amp is. There's other things where he's like, yeah, we're going to go to the convenience store. Convenience store? There's no excuse for that. You've been to a convenience store. Don't give me that shit, dude. And I'm like, I can't buy in. There's nobody that is that much of an airhead idiot that can also just be like, yeah, I'm actually a gifted singer. Yeah, and I had it all up here in the dome, and I can pull that shit out. Convenience store? Nah, man. Ain't no fucking way. Ain't no fucking way. Sorry. I feel very strongly about this show that a lot of my friends like.
That's because it's good.
Except for that kid. Except for the main kid. I liked everybody else's like relationship with each other.
Kid's just traumatized in 16.
I don't know. I've never seen
Ryan also has a problem with children is the other thing.
I also can't buy into shows where I can't like it's part of the world, right? So if the world is like another high school, mm-hmm. Wow, Japan. Another high school.
Okay. America also has most of our shows taking place in high school.
I guess. I'm not really tuned into those shows though. But I'm told that these animes that take place in high school are very good. And so then I try to watch them and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot once more. I don't like shows that take place in high school.
Ryan just doesn't like children.
No, it's not that. There are shows with children at the center that I can still like get into because it's not like it doesn't take place in school, but it's about a kid, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Like what?
You know, like that Last of Us show? That's a kid, right?
Yeah, but
kid
everyone else is an adult.
No, there are still other kids. And like, I like the little moments of reprieve in there and like whatever. And it's not because I don't dislike the show because there's a kid in it.
No, but like, you dislike shows that are about kids.
I think it's not even that they're about kids. It's that they're about kid problems. Because I like My Hero because that's a show about kids. But the kids' problems are not kid problems.
No.
They're world-ending adult problems that have been fronted on kids. And that makes me go, damn, that sucks. That's too bad for those kids. And like with Spider-Man, like I like Spider-Man is usually like Miles in mm-hmm. like the Spider-Verse movies. That's a child.
Yeah, it is.
Right? But he's a child faced with like world ending.
Ryan just wants children to be traumatized. He can't handle like children handling children problems.
Yeah, because that's like, it's like, oh man, you got it so nice and cushy.
Welcome back to Cosplay Con Crunch. This is our first episode back after not recording for a while. I'm your host, Cosplay Cajun.
I'm Right Joy-Con Rye. You can find me on Instagram as such.
So today we are kind of ancillarily prepping for KinetiCon, which happens in a couple weeks, which means that we have to build a schedule for what our days will look like, which means that we have to find out what's going on at the con. You know, everyone talks about getting in the artist alley, the dealer's hall, meeting voice actors, but no one really tells you about all the cool other shit that goes on at cons. Yeah. So today, Ryan and I will be discussing what can you do at a con.
Other than the big activities, which we've talked about before. I'd say like multiple times we've talked about going through Artist Alley, going through like the dealer's hall, right? I don't know, have anybody ever called a dealer's den?
No.
It was like a missed opportunity. Yeah, and we've talked about that before, and we spend like a lot of like our first day at the convention usually doing that because that's when everybody's stuff is there and it's like fully stocked.
Yeah, probably the first day and the morning of the second day, because if you go on like Friday or Thursday to a con,
they have everything.
Not everyone's there yet. Yeah.
We've talked about those things before, but we were independently talking about this and we were like, there are plenty of other things that exist at conventions that we've like come across and that we really enjoy. But I don't think that people who have gone to less conventions or maybe smaller conventions are necessarily familiar with.
I think it's also the thing of cons are not great at advertising.
No. In fact,
what happens?
In fact, we're recording at like the start of July right now. And I like pulled it up before this episode. There's not like a concrete KineticCon schedule yet.
Yeah. So the schedule will tend to come out a couple days before the convention.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a bummer. Stressful.
Yeah. Because it means that you, a lot of the times, your hotel is booked and you are ready, your travel is set to get to a convention, but you don't necessarily have the resources or like a schedule that's been released yet to plan your actual route. You can only kind of go off of what conventions have had in the past. And that's sort of what we wanted to talk about today.
I'm here to talk about the big cosplay stuff as well as the day activities. And Ryan is going to talk about the lovely nighttime activities.
Look at me like that.
Because they're mostly 18+.
Yeah, nighttime activities.
Nighttime activities are not family friendly. And not a lot of times you have to buy an extra ticket for them.
Yeah, yeah. You need like an adult verification wristband, stuff like that. So
start off, I think one of the big things that we do in the mornings at most cons is the AMVs, which is the music videos, which are fan created videos that take songs or... My favorite ones is the trailer. Your favorite one was actually the trailer.
Yeah. Oh my God. When you sync up a trailer audio with a music video that you compile together, it's phenomenal.
One of the best ones that we saw was for Matrix 4 and Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Yeah. It was really good.
That one was insane.
If Dan ever got to see that one.
I don't think she did.
Yeah, because
I'd send it to her. I'd show it to her at her party.
Yeah, if we can pull it up. It's just, it's hard sometimes. That's actually one of the other appeals about AMVs is that sometimes they're just exclusive to the convention.
Yes, the convention will tend to put, I know Anime Boston makes a playlist every year. All of that is put up on YouTube. And so that's really cool. But that's mostly just like the finalists.
Plenty more.
There are so many more. So there's that. Love AMVs. I think AMVs, one is a great way to start your day because to support like a contest, there's normally a winner. You normally can vote. And also like, it's not very energy heavy.
Oh no, not at all. If anything, like you go to these things, I mean, it's just, you're usually in an auditorium. You sit down, you're watching these AMVs and like, they're usually all pretty hype.
Yeah.
Because you're not seeing the first round of these things. You're seeing the curated feed that they've sorted through.
There's normally about 6 to 8 categories, and each one has normally 4 to 6 in them.
Do you got it on the dome? I've got a couple off the top.
Trailers. Action adventure.
Comedy.
Combat. Fighting.
Oh, or something.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
Romance. Drama. Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. And miscellaneous is literally
whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
There was one where it was like, run, Mihoko, run.
And it was, it's still to this day, like the most like impressive animation thing that I've seen like one person create.
It took them years though.
It took them literally years. And like to not give the win in that category to that person would be kind of like sad. And we were sitting next to
the person that literally went before them.
That went before them. And it was good. Like it was very good. In any other world.
It was Choose Your Fighter by Ava Maxa.
Yeah.
For Demon Slayer.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, man.
It was very good.
What else was something about AMVs that I was like really into? When I was like a kid, I used to watch AMVs like on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And they were usually for Dragon Ball because that was like the big one.
Mine was Homestuck.
They made Homestuck AMVs?
Of course they made Homestuck AMVs.
Like, was Homestuck animated?
There were animated bits, yeah. There's like full cinematic like parts.
There are parts?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No. It goes from like shitty MS Paint to like fully like...
Is it just the one guy?
It was, yeah.
That's crazy. Well, good for him. But no, I used to watch them when I was a kid, and that was like a big introduction for me into anime. I really enjoyed watching the Dragon Ball ones while I was... It was like at the time when I was like going through Dragon Ball for the first time. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I was like, I can't wait till I get to that part. And so I imagine that for people now who watch like a Demon Slayer AMV, it's probably like a similar feeling.
Yeah, or it's I like the ones where JJK has a couple good ones.
Yeah, JJK's got a lot. Because the animation in JJK is good.
Yeah, from season two, it was insane. I also like the compilation ones where it's like, there's a really good 5 Seconds of Summer one that is just like, it's a bunch of different ones. It has like Naruto and Dragon Ball and Demon Slayer and Attack on Titan. And it's just so many of them and they're so good.
And it's so satisfying to see like people sync up animation with songs that may be related or maybe completely unrelated. Like I've seen like they've synced up like Chainsaw Man with like Happy Go Lucky, like
And also AMVs for a lot of shows on TikTok is how I got into certain anime. So I didn't...
That's true.
I got into Skate because I saw Cherry Adam edit for Betrayed by Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I was like, I don't understand what this poor ninja boy did.
Spider-Man, you're talking about Skate, right?
Yeah, Skate the Infinity.
Wait, who's the ninja boy? Oh, Cherry the ninja boy. Okay. Of all the things to describe Cherry as, like, he looks like a ninja.
He's not a ninja. He does kick Joe a couple times.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, they're just athletic, though. So, no, that's cool. I think it being, like, a way to, like, get into new anime, that's one thing. But also, you've started listening to music from AMVs that we've seen at some of these things.
I really like the music. Song Death Rattle. And another one that I really like is When We Were Close, which I then like actually found out the story for. And it's a very sad song about losing a friend to like an overdose. It's fucking amazing. It's really good to lift to.
Is it like a single or was it a part of like an album?
It's part of an album, but like that song is just dedicated to him.
Oh, damn. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Anyway. So yeah, AMV is a great way to start the day. And they normally do several different rounds of it, so they'll start back up. There's normally like a showing each day, and it's always just in like an auditorium. You can really participate and like go to the voting and stuff like that. And another really great thing to hop to, the like cosplay panels. One, because you get to see how people build things, but two, because you get to try and take little skills and build on them in the only way that you can know how in this community, which is by just asking someone else. And so we've gone to ones for like lights and putting lights and weapons before. And I've gone to...
That was really helpful. Just like thinking back on that. That was really helpful.
Especially for like Patroclus and Achilles coming up. And so there's that. But then building from that, there's like... I've tried going to wig panels because I still don't understand how wigs work. And also as much as I know about fabric, talking to other people to see how they've built things. It's a really great way to prop up and build more on your arsenal and everything. Yeah,
because everybody's got new strategies, you know, and their own strategies to handle certain things.
Yeah, and it also
getting just, more perspective is not a bad thing.
And it also just tells you like where you can get things or what you can substitute for other things, because like cosplaying is expensive, and a lot of times these panels will tell you about how to do it cheaply. fan-hosted panels is, I guess, how I'm going
to
phrase
it. Hard to get a panel, right? Like, it sounds like you just kind of, like, submit, like,
you submit a request. And, like, you have to get, like, a layout and whether or not it's 18 plus. And so, yes, you too one day could host a panel.
Oh, man. Me too.
Me too. When we went to Anime Boston the first year, we went and saw a panel about Japanese culture and, like, the U.S. and, like, dining culture.
It used to, it was, he talked a lot about, like, Japanese cuisine were there. And then he actually then came back and I don't know, people seemed to be, like, checked out by the end of it. But it was cool because he then started talking about, it's like, yeah, and then I found a bunch of places over here
that have, that have the exact vibe,
same vibe, like, the right, like, thing. And I was like, that's kind of cool.
And he passed it out, like, a little pamphlet that had the names of restaurants.
That was nice. I like it that guy. Nice.
And so I think that's the other thing of, it's like, a lot of people, when they think of panels, they think of, like, voice actor panels, which is a thing that we go to. And they're fun. And they're great. They
fill up, though.
They fill up. Not all of the time is it, like, a voice actor that you care about.
That's true. Also, not every voice actor wants to be there.
Yeah, there are
some. And that's kind of a sad realization.
There are sometimes that you look them dead in the eyes and you realize, oh, you don't want to be.
You don't like this, do you? You want to go home. I don't blame you.
And then there are other times where they're having a genuine blast. And I think it just also depends on, like, whether it's Friday or Sunday night.
That's true. It also kind of depends on the level of question, because there are sometimes people who I'm not going to be like a teacher and be like, oh yeah, there's no such thing as a stupid question. No, there are stupid questions. I'm sorry.
I don't think there are stupid questions. I think there are questions that just aren't for this time and place.
Cosplay commandment number 10, I think. Treat it like the people around you are minors at these cosplay, like, or at these voice actor panels. Yeah. Pretend like the people around you are minors and you want to ask questions like that, because sometimes it's not right.
Unless you were like us at that one Dragon Ball panel in CC KineticCon a couple years ago, where it was very clear that there were no minors and the voice actor himself started getting, like, not safe for work territory because you asked, like, someone asked, like, a simple question.
Yeah.
How did you start in Dragon Ball?
Oh my God. And that's the guy who does Android 17, right?
Android 17 and Garlic Jr. and. Yeah. Someone else.
That was cool. I like that
guy. He was sweet. He was a cool dude.
Yeah. Like a Chris Sabat, like, vibe about him.
He did. He told us that, like, the funny story from that panel was that he was like, yeah, I walked into the booth. I got hired as Garlic Jr. I recorded all my lines in one day. And then Chris and Justin, who were, like, the director and co-director, had me write down my information on, like, a note card and crayon.
Like a post-it note almost. And it's like.
And then they're like, all right, we'll send you the check. And then he was like, yeah, fucking right.
And then he's like, he goes home and then, yeah. And then I got the check and I was like, oh my God, this is a real thing. I didn't just get scammed. Crazy. Crazy.
And then Chris called him up later and was like, hey, do you want to do a regular role as an alien? Robot thing.
Yeah, robot. You're pretty strong. Come in here.
Sure.
No, that was funny. Voice actor panels are nice. We do like going to them, but I think that you should try to not just go to them.
Yeah. And also just remember, the voice actors tend not to know any more than you do.
Asking about plot is not necessarily worth it.
A lot of people during the skate panels will ask when season 2 or the OVA is coming out, and it's like, they don't know.
Yeah.
They get it secondhand. You're probably getting clips before they get scripts.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The other thing that I love going to that is kind of panel and, like, this big auditorium style aspect of the day is game shows. I love game shows.
Yeah.
I think game shows are so fun. I got to participate in an actually one, and I did fine.
Yeah, I mean,
fine.
You didn't win, but
I got second.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes when you compete. This is so sad. What's this trend?
What was the other time I got second?
I got second at the
Weeb Night. Yeah. If you go onto Weeb Night Instagram, you will see me as Dracula Mihawk. I lost to a Lego Luffy,
that looks exactly like what you think it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Lego Luffy.
And yeah, what's a warlord to a Yonko, I guess?
Evidently. Oh, well, sad. New world, old world.
It's the mech builds, man.
It's hard. It's hard to compete against mech builds. I mean, because it's not the same.
No.
It's just not the same.
Mine was just a really nice coat.
Different worlds.
Pants. Makeup.
Swordless.
It's too big, Ryan.
It's fine. Now we have a small one coming.
We do have a small one.
Skinny legend Yoru on his way.
Why do you guys keep calling it Skinny Legend York?
I have no idea where it started, but Dan started saying it, and then I started saying it, and it's just like, yeah.
Is it a reference? It has to be a reference.
I don't know. Maybe something. I don't
know. Oh, well, not the point. But I love game shows. We got to go to Anime Family Feud when we were at Anime Boston, and that, the other thing is the good game shows will fill up
quickly. Oh, yeah. Do you know when you're supposed to sign up for them?
When you get there.
You get there.
And it's always audience participation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. And that's kind of how it goes, too. I know that there are, like, there's also the thing that you're going to be competing in.
Yeah, we don't know if I'm going to be competing. We'll know by the time this episode goes up.
Yeah, that's true.
I signed up for and submitted myself for cosplay deathmatch.
Right. Which is another daytime activity.
Which is I think it's at like 4 or 5. Cosplay Deathmatch is a game where, with audience participation, two characters in cosplay go up against each other and they battle to the death, and you have to practice your deaths and your fatalities and all stuff like that. And that is what we are making Skinny Legend Yoru for, because wielding real Yoru there might actually kill someone.
That's big.
Or break.
It's big. Big or break. And which one would you be more sad about, dear? Killing someone or breaking the sword?
Killing someone, Ryan.
Oh, okay. I got to check. And just
I don't think
sure.
you do.
No. I feel like I have to. I just got to check in because it's a, you know, you said you'd be really sad that last time when I was like, what if Yoru breaks? And you're like, don't say that. And I was like, whoa. I was like, it might, you know, it's possible. And it did kind of break.
Yeah, but the alternative wasn't someone's death.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know.
Cool. Ryan, you are so out of touch sometimes.
Moral check. Got a quick moral check.
You do not have the ground to stand on for moral checks,
yeah,
dear.
Fine.
Anyway, so yeah, there's like game shows like that where you sign up in advance. There's also the dating show.
Yeah, speed dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speed dating. And that's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to watch, but it also can get a little cringe.
Like kind of quickly. I think that the dating game, the speed dating game was actually fun when it was at night because they didn't have to try to like filter it down.
Yeah.
You know, but then some people would do it during the day and they would filter down and other people wouldn't. And then that was like, oh, we're mismatched here.
Yeah.
The energies aren't the same. And all of a sudden it's not that. But the way that one works is you are dressed as a character and you're supposed to be... Like, you're playing that character,
yeah.
Right? And then you have to, like, act as though that character would when they are faced with characters from now. Completely different fandoms
yeah.
and, like, other things. And so you have to be, I have to say, like, you know, you have to be probably pretty well-versed.
In your character, yeah.
In your character, and not even just that, but, like, the other characters. Like, if you see someone, you're like, I don't know what that is. That's kind of awkward. It's like, I don't know what this character is about.
So what happens is like, you have three people on a couch and one person behind a screen.
Yeah.
And they are asking contestant A, B, and C questions.
Right.
And you answer in character. And the person asking them is asking them in character.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to do Mihawk for that as the person asking questions. It's like my goth daughter and blind son have put me up to this.
Nice.
Directionless son?
Directionless son. Lost. Blind Lost son. Blind son is sad.
He is sad.
He's down in
the You
eye.
Looked at him recently? Zoro is depressed.
My boy.
There's a lot of fun in-character games, but you have to be able to be in-character for them.
Yeah, and so that kind of comes to a thing where it's like, I'm down to do like poses and stuff like that. As a character, right?
Yeah.
Take pictures and like brief interactions as character. But more than that, to really become a character is maybe too much for me. So if, you know, if you feel the same, like if people feel the same as that, maybe those aren't for you.
But if you're like me and you like improv and acting,
were a theater kid, then maybe this is for you.
If you were a theater kid, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to shine.
Dude, absolutely. Go up there. Just don't be cringe, please. Don't be cringe during the daytime. Be cringe at night. When less people can see you, and the judgment is like, you know.
To be cringe is to be free. Have no shame. Have no shame.
I can't agree with that. There needs to be some check to this.
You are my check to this.
Yeah, because
congrats, dear.
Shame is real. Shame is a real feeling, and I think it's a correct feeling sometimes.
All right. I wouldn't know.
That's fair. So anyways, what do you have any other day activities?
The other day activities are, again, things that you enter in beforehand, which is something we've touched on that wanting to do, but we haven't done in a while, which is the craftsmanship competitions.
Yes. It would be nice.
They start in the day.
And I have to admit, though, from my understanding of people who enter craftsmanship competitions, you have to sort of resign your day.
Yeah.
That becomes your entire day. And it's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just go about.
You have to constantly be watching clock. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of felt that on like a micro level when we entered the Weeb Night.
Yeah.
Over here. Right. And so that was kind of
that's because they were bad at telling you what the schedule was.
Which
is also a thing that happens with craftsmanship competitions, which is it's like, well, it turns out that someone built a mech build and it took way longer to check that in than Odette.
I will say that at real conventions, they are pretty good at separating it.
Yes. So there tends to be one. I think the big thing that happens with craftsmanship is you divide by expertise,
right,
and also previous history. Regardless of how long I've been sewing, technically I'm an amateur or a beginner cosplayer. Mm-hmm. And so I would be set in the first or second category. It depends on if there's three or four.
True.
And then you have, so it's like novice, amateur, intermediate, and then expert.
Yeah. And expert, that's where you have like the anything goes. For us, I think the one that wasn't like a mech build and expert was the Doctor Strange that we saw.
Yeah.
It was way back at like NokoCon.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Way back at Noko, we saw Doctor Strange that was like a beautiful, like Marvel, like Infinity War version of the Doctor Strange. Like,
and it was so accurate. It was embroidered and everything. It was gorgeous. Hand embroidery. I got to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I think he won, right?
He did win.
Yeah. Nice, good. Okay.
He was also only like one of three people competing in the expert for NoCo.
That's fair.
But I think kind of transitioning to the night activities, a thing that often gets lumped in with craftsmanship competitions is the masquerade.
Yes.
And so I think this is where like the big differential kind of needs to be stated. Craftsmanship competition means that you are showing off your cosplay and you are being judged on how well you made it.
Right.
That is what a craftsmanship competition is. A masquerade is a stage performance where you are judged both on look, act, skit, and like the showy aspects of it. So not only are you being judged on like what you're wearing and like whether or not it looks good, you're also being judged on everything else. And so a lot of times for masquerades, you can enter with store-bought or like mostly bought cosplays.
Yes.
Whereas for craftsmanship competitions, depending on which level you're entering, there's a certain level that has to be handmade.
I want to do a little bit of this might become a recurrent segment, but MJ has explained to me what the masquerade is four times. it's sad because every time that I go to it, I'm a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask questions as someone who's not super familiar with this masquerade thing and see if you can provide me with answers.
I will do my best.
Through me, maybe people can understand it as well.
Sure.
Okay. So I know when you go to the masquerade, right?
As a
viewer, you sit and a lot of people have these smacky
glow lights. Yeah.
Glow lights. So what is that for?
Cheering on your person.
Okay. But you say person, but like, it's
so it's kind of like an idol competition.
Right. And I'm gone. you've lost me.
So in idol groups, in girl groups, uh-huh, everyone is normally assigned a color.
Okay.
So say you have five girls and they're assigned blue, pink, red, green, and purple.
In one group.
In one group. They are each individually assigned a color.
All right.
You turn your glow pen to the color of your favorite.
Okay.
To cheer them on.
Does that cheer for the person impact the judging of this masquerade?
Yeah, but that's like,
it's just like that's audience, like any level
like
of
social audience. Sociologically and psychologically, yes.
Okay, but that's the impact. It's not like they're like, oh, okay, we see red and that person. Do they, when you win in the masquerade, are you winning as a group?
It depends on whether or not you enter as a group.
Okay, but in this scenario where everybody has like their own color, like red, green, blue, purple, whatever.
Okay, right? So I was saying that because like, all right, if me, Dan, and Danny were to enter as like a skate group.
Okay.
And I was Joe and Danny was Cherry and Dan was Longa. And it was like a quick brief scene where like they make fun of Longa or some shit. Maybe we do like a musical number.
Sure.
Whatever. The audience would put on blue, pink, and green to cheer on the three of us.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Judges seeing that people are actively participating in whatever capacity would psychologically influence them to rate us higher.
No, that makes sense. What I'm saying, though, is that if you guys go
and
up there and
then we
you do
would
a skit,
win as a trio.
As a trio. That's what I mean. It's not about like, oh, but so then you got the most.
No, it's about which group, like which entry.
This has been MJ Explains the Masquerade to Ryan.
Is that the only question you had?
No, I have more questions.
Okay, what's your other questions?
Let's see. I have a question about sometimes people sing.
Yes.
Sometimes people go up there and they actively sing.
Good for them.
Great. Other times people go up there and they lip sync.
Yes. Both are valid.
Both are valid. Are they being judged directly against each other?
Yes.
That's not really fair.
Depends.
I'm going to be honest. Sometimes MJ, sometimes somebody will go up there and like they're singing really, really well. And I don't know. Because it's not like they come on and they're like,
yeah,
and this will be so-and-so.
But like, it's about the whole performance. So like, if they're just a good singer, but like they don't dance or act or do anything else, then like, yes, they may have sung, but that's all they did.
Okay. So if the person that goes up there lip syncs and they dance and they do like a little whatever thing, we're also partially looking at their
cosplay.
How
they look, yeah.
Cool. Then it's like it's a holistic performance.
It's a holistic performance.
Is it? I mean, I'm imagining when you judge these, mm-hmm. you have like a little bit of like a checklist.
Yeah.
Of things you're looking at.
It's because a scale that you rate on.
Because if there isn't a scale, I have no idea how you would do this.
Yeah,
because
it's really like a note card and it has like the group and then like you.
It sounds like impossible, right?
Yeah.
I used to judge interpretation and they had dramatic performance was like a holistic like category, right? So they would compare people who did like a dramatic interpretation to people who did a humorous interpretation and you had to weigh those against each other and they do not look the same at all.
Yeah. And that's right? The same thing here.
And I was like, I mean, I laughed and this person played like 10 characters up there.
Yeah.
Right. And that's awesome and cool. But then the next person came up and they did one person and they had like a monologue that was really impactful, but there's no voice. They're not doing like a character or anything. And I'm like, how do I compare these? And so what I'm saying is I could never judge this.
Yeah.
Like not once ever could I judge this, but I respect the people who can sort through it and figure it out because damn, sounds really hard. Actually.
Yeah.
Like really, really fucking hard to be like, yeah, well, this person sang, so.
And there might be, I've never done masquerades. I've watched masquerades, I've never participated. And so it might be one of those things of, again, kind of like costume contests, like craftsmanship contests. There might be categories.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
But I don't know.
But they're also like, can I be honest though? Like it, I feel like with most other activities at conventions, we go and there's like a small amount of handholding, right? Where like even with the AMVs, which are extremely laid back, right? They're like, okay, now is the voting period. Okay, now is this category. Okay, this is what's happening. And like, I know I'm in. I know exactly what's happening next. With the masquerade, they're so just like, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody understands this. We don't need to explain it.
I Googled it because I was tired of not knowing. So there are two categories. There is novice for participants who are 13 plus and have won fewer than 3 performances or awards at this or any other convention. And then there is advanced participants 13 plus.
Only novice or advanced?
For CT, yes. Oh, and then registration, in order to participate, you must have a badge. Entries must enter for via the website. Minors are not allowed or must be accompanied by an adult. Rules. All right. Idol, J-pop, K-pop skirts that consist skits that... that just dance choreography from the original artist are not allowed at the masquerade. So you can't just rip off...
Just Dance, like the game?
No.
Oh.
Just a dance.
Oh, I heard Just Dance. I was like, because if you like look at Just Dance, like they have, you know,
yeah,
different...
Yeah, but like, well, it did start with Idol, J-pop, and K-pop.
Yeah, so, but what is... So there, yeah, because there's idol type music.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean that it has to be in the categories of idol?
You can't just be dancing based off pre choreographed shit.
Okay. No. I'm saying, but could I pull in like country music?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
It just can't be a dance that is solely a dance that is already choreographed by someone else.
So for example, like you couldn't do the Cotton Eye Joe, go up there and then do like the Cotton Eye Joe dance.
I have no idea, Ryan. You were asking questions aren't answered.
That's fine. That's fine.
But I probably understand. Fucking not.
Probably not. Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Understood. There's got to be originality in the dance.
There's apparently a separate event for dance performances. It's called Pop Off and Pop Off Live Debut. All first right. Kineticon. So there.
Oh my
acts gosh. Performed at a previous masquerade will be permitted as long as they have not won an award. The maximum number of people allowed on a stage is 8. There will be no electrical hookups on stage, so please keep your costume self-contained.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Your costume can't be taller than 8 feet and more than 250 pounds.
Cosplay can't be more than 250 pounds.
Yeah.
A 200-pound cosplay sounds agonizing.
Yes. Do not bring anything on stage that includes that you cannot take off stage, such as confetti and rose petals. Yeah, it looks like it's just skits.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just skits.
You can do prop comedy.
You can do prop comedy.
All right.
So long as you can take the prop with you.
You could call your sister. Hey, I got a job for you. You do some more prop comedy.
For reference, everyone, my sister did a prop comedy event toast at our wedding.
A toast at the wedding, literal prop.
She pulled out a toaster because...
Because it's a toast.
No.
Oh, you're going
to
really do it?
No, I'm going to just give one quick. My dad and grandmother conspired against me to get me 2 toasters for Christmas one year when I was like 13, which is way too young for toasters.
Because you expressed interest in the toaster.
I expressed interest in retro stylings.
God forbid, you know. God forbid a kid like retro shit, you know.
But yeah, so do you have any other questions about the masquerade?
At the moment, no, but we will revisit this segment at some point.
Probably.
Maybe with somebody who's more familiar with the masquerade.
We would have to find someone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the end of my list.
Nice.
Well, okay. I have one more leading into the night activities. The ball.
The ball?
The ball.
Ball.
The formal. The formal ball, where everyone gets to dress up as fancy schmancy versions of characters, or just fancy schmancy characters. That isn't Nightwing.
That's not Nightwing. I mean, maybe you could pick it up and it sounds different.
I don't know. You'll find out, you and John. Anyway, so the formal is a lovely time. We actually did a formal. We did Odette and Daniel this year. And last year we did Sherry and Joe at Katsukon. And this year at Oda, we'll be going to the formal. And I think we're also doing Odette and Daniel, but I don't remember.
I mean, it'd be a shame to not wear it again. So
yeah, Leafeon.
What I do, it'll be Leafeon, Flareon, super effective. Actually, most things are super effective against Leafeon. It's sad. No, grass is a sad type.
But he's so cute.
That's true. He's got like leaves on him. It'd be weird if he didn't have leaves on him.
But also, very on brand for Pokemon.
To call it one thing and then have it be not. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Anyway, we're getting off topic. The formal is a great time. Some cons, like Katsu, have formal winners, but I think
we were late.
We talked about this in our Katsu episode, which is you gotta get there on time because it's done on the fly. And so a lot of times the judges will have like tokens that they give you and that lets you know that you're in the running. If you show up late, everyone runs out of tokens. If you want to enter the formal, you gotta get there first and be on time.
Another thing about the formal is that in the formal, they will be playing like slower type music. So you should be somewhat equipped to dance. If you go with someone else, you should be somewhat equipped to dance. And also, no like raunchy type dancing, right? You wouldn't want to.
It's a ball. Be respectful at a ball.
Right, I know. But I feel like it's important because you have to get. I'm trying to sell like an idea. If you've never been to like a cosplay
form. It is not a homecoming.
No, it is not like a prom. It is not like a homecoming.
It is a ball.
It is a ball. It is maybe a separate thing than you've like ever been to. And honestly, that makes it more worth it.
But it's probably been a thing that you've wanted to go to.
Yeah. So I think it's cool.
I like them. I love them.
Yeah. We got to enter on time next year.
Now it's Ryan's turn to talk. And MJ gets to sit here and have sarcastic comments.
I guess we can talk about night activities first. But I did have one day activity that I could talk more about. So I wonder, do you want me to do that later? Do you want me to do that?
No, do that now.
Do that now? Okay. There's one day activity that I'd be interested in partaking in that MJ probably wouldn't. And that's to participate in video game competitions of sorts.
Why have you never done that?
Why have I never done that?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's a great question because The first one that I want to talk about are the console video game tournaments. So these are usually you go to the event and you bring your own controller, right? So you go in, you enter these competitions, and they're, I've done like a polling to see kind of like what people usually enter in. It's usually Super Smash Bros., Tekken 7, Guilty Gear.
Hold on, pause. My dad keeps calling me. Yes, Dad.
There's a lady outside your house door with tag in her hand.
With Nightwing.
She just called me.
With Nightwing.
Yeah, I mean Nightwing in his hand.
So Nightwing got out, and that was weird. What?
He jumped into her car.
Yeah, he always does that.
Oh man, this guy, he's
called
like
my dad
too trusting of a dog, man.
Yeah,
he's gonna jump in this other woman's car.
It's a car. I like car rides. Nightwing loves car rides.
For like 10 minutes.
He likes them until we get where we're going. And then he's like, no, wait, this is the vet or the groomer or wherever.
He's like, wait, I was like taken for a ride, literally.
I was lied to. Anyway, Tekken tournaments, you were saying.
Yeah, there's no clean way to go back into this.
No, we're leaving that in.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, so I did like a bit of like a research, and I found out that the most common tournaments are Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Switch. There's Tekken 7, which there are a couple consoles, usually the PlayStation.
What is Tekken?
Tekken, it's like one of those like old school fighting games. That's most, I think, tournaments at these conventions. They're usually okay. Fighting game tournaments. There's Guilty Gear Strive, but I've seen people talk about playing Exert. I know that I have a lot of friends who are into that. And Josh actually went to, I think, SuperCon down in Miami, and he competed in a Guilty Gear tournament down there. And I was like, it's interesting because Josh has nothing to do with conventions, but he loves going to like these tournaments, and he'll go into a convention for the sake of just competing in a tournament.
Way to go, Josh.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. That's definitely a thing that you could do at tournaments, but kind of like cosplay competitions, right? You have to be prepared for that to be your day. Because if you're good, you're just sitting and waiting for your next time to play. And that's cool.
No, that's cool. Josh is a good guy. I can't believe we entered contest at a con for nothing other than that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to just go to a convention for one video game competition, for that to be the only thing. But I've seen people who are in full cosplay that go to, you know,
but
these
tournaments.
That does
kind of become your day.
I might enter like a Super Smash tournament because I like Smash Bros. I know that it's traumatizing for MJ because I used to play Smash Bros. Too much.
It wasn't just you. It was all of you. You all did it too much.
The proverbial you.
And you didn't invite me because I didn't know how to play. And then you guys didn't understand what that meant.
You answered your own question. It's
but you guys never even tried to teach me.
No, that's true. And
you guys were confounded by the notion that I didn't know what video games were.
MJ was like, but how am I, what button do I press? Oh, A. Where's A? And C. And then at that moment, my friends and I were like, oh boy, it's too much. There's too much to do here. And they were like, it's not worth it. And eventually I was like, wait, MJ, you actually don't know how to play video games.
3 years into dating.
Yeah, 3 years in. It is what it is. That's one thing that you could do. Another activity that I have is that you could participate in PC game tournaments, which are a lot more collaborative. So fighting game tournaments are you versus usually one other opponent, like a 1v1. But PC tournaments are usually like you have a crew and you go in together. And so if you're playing like a League of Legends tournament, don't play League of Legends. Just don't do it.
Play something else.
Play something else. Play anything else. Play Overwatch. That's better than League of Legends.
Isn't Overwatch getting shut down? I thought it was either like Team Fortress 2 or Overwatch. One of them is like closing out.
Well, so no, I think you might be thinking about Overwatch 1 because there's an Overwatch 2 now. And so they're shutting down Overwatch 1. I don't know. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Play something else. It's usually like five people versus another five people, and it's like a team game. And I can see how doing that at a convention could be like kind of hype because it's you and your boys versus somebody else and their boys. And that's kind of cool, right? If you're really good, again, you have to be okay with that being your entire thing. I've seen people who've done this at conventions. You're there with your laptop, you're there with your mouse, and like you're locked in. You're not, you stay, it's usually like next to the dealer's hall is where they have the setups for this.
Yeah.
And you're also kind of,
it's in the same area where the autographs are.
Yeah. You kind of have to, you also have to be really good at tuning out the surroundings because the surroundings are fucking loud, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know how people do it.
Good on them.
Good on them. Right. But if that's your thing,
go for it, bud.
Go for it. It's fun. I would absolutely compete if that's something you enjoy. All right. So the next one that I wanted to talk about, at a lot of conventions recently, there are things called raves, mm-hmm. right? And I've been to two raves. Both of those raves were at KatsuCon the past 2 years. And I think that the raves are fun, but they are very...
They're also free.
They can be very overstimulating very quickly because flashing lights, lasers, and stuff like that. In usually one of like the grand ballrooms, there's a DJ. Actually, it's not even usually just one DJ. There's usually like two or three DJs that come in over the course of a night and replace the other. And then like the vibe changes a little bit. Yeah. So it's cool because you get to see different guys and different mixes. And a lot of the times for these rave events, they're playing mixes
of
anime music. Yeah. So like, usually like intro tracks or stuff like that, or like now the JJK like special whatever thing.
I'm special.
Yeah, it's big, and so they use that a lot.
Anime Boston is a thing that is kind of similar to a rave, but it isn't. It's a 21 plus club.
Really?
Yeah, I remember we went to it, Kings.
Right. Oh, but it's not. It's separate from the convention.
It is,
itself,
and sometimes they are. One of the other ones has like a late night club that is off base. NokoCon did, and that NokoCon is where Sissy got to.
That's right.
Red Panda,
yeah. That's
and
cool.
A couple other people.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things if it's like, sometimes those events have an extra late charge to them. Sometimes they don't.
Did we have to pay to get into Kings?
No, but we had to pay for all our drinks.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the other thing, which is like the raves and formals don't have like food or drinks.
No.
And you're not really allowed to bring food or drinks in with you.
No. So the one that was at KatsuCon was a part of the Gaylord, right? So mm-hmm. you go to like the bottom floor of the Gaylord and it was just there. And so you would usually be wearing whatever it is that you're doing for rave. And you go down there and you do your thing. And then when you get out, now you're a little bit like buzzed off of the high energy, loud music and like lasers, literal lasers, right? That you're like, I should probably go eat something, or I should probably continue drinking or whatever. You usually leave feeling something.
Euphoria.
Yeah. And so I like that. I think that it can be fun, but like, I know, like even amongst our friends, there are plenty of people who that is not for them.
It's your wife.
Well, yeah, that's why you've never gone.
I've gone once. I went because that's where Danny met back up.
Yeah.
At Katsu's Rave 2023.
Which is crazy because when I talked to Dan was like, yeah, I hate these things.
Yeah, we all were like, why did we come? But it's like, well, you had to come once kind of thing.
You had to check it out, yeah.
And check it out, never go again.
Scintillating.
But it's also one of those things of it's like, that's Katsu's Rave. I know some of the other ones, like the clubs are a bit more low-key and that's kind of more fun.
Right. And I'm down to keep exploring.
But that is again, like an 18 plus, 21 plus event.
Yes.
I think Katsu's is 18 plus, I think.
And I don't think it's for any, like, it's not for any reason other than it's
people
late.
People dress like
a
rave.
It's late. People are dressed like rave. And if you're a kid, if you're a minor, you probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah, go to bed.
Yeah, go to bed. Yeah, you got things to do tomorrow.
You got to wake up early.
It's usually...
Go to sleep.
I want to clarify that a lot of the times, I think at Katsu, the rave was it the Friday?
It's Friday and Saturday.
It's Friday and Saturday? Yeah. So Saturday is also the formal.
Yeah, so it's formal then rave.
It's formal then rave.
People are sometimes wearing three outfits then Saturdays.
That's nuts. Formal. So it's Saturday day, then formal, then rave.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Good changes.
Good for them, man. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is something that I am excited to explore more in this year's con season, because it's not something that we've necessarily had access to before. Themed and con-specific activities that are very unique to the convention itself. So the first one that I can think about, and the one that I'm most excited for this year, is Colossal Con East, where you get to stay in a hotel. Well, if you get it, and we did get it.
Woo! We did get it.
You get to stay in a hotel that has a water park attached to it.
Yeah, like a Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. The idea that... And so people will, a lot of the times, dress... like do like a swimwear version so that you can then go ride on rides looking like a character, having fun doing your thing while at a convention at a water park.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I am so excited to partake in that this year. That is like my most anticipated
thing. Aren't you doing Frankie?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Frankie or... that might be when we do Shocky and...
That's what I was thinking. Frankie or, like, Rayleigh.
Yeah, I get to be Shocky. That just means I get to look like...
It's good to be
feminine
pretty
feminine Mihawk.
So I'm down for that. I'm really excited. I know that's Colossal Con, though. Mm-hmm. There's also Holmat, which is Holiday Matsuri.
Yeah, down right? in Orlando.
Which is always the week before Christmas and mm-hmm. is always fully Christmas-themed.
Yep.
And so, yeah, because the hotel, oh my God, and it's so cool. So this year, I know that it's taking place at a different hotel, mm-hmm. but there are still...
County Convention Center.
Yeah, but there are still multiple things at Holmat every year that are themed. So they have themed drinks. Mm-hmm. I see that they have like s'mores, they have like hot chocolate, like bars and stuff like that. And it's so cool, right? The other thing that they have, holiday themed events. One of the things that they were advertising was holiday rave.
Oh my God.
Where everybody's dressed as Santa or like an elf or like something like that.
Or a holiday character.
Or oh yeah, or holiday version of a character. Dan, but I saw a lot of
Danny have Santas. Done holiday versions of the pro heroes. And I don't know, who do we want to do holiday versions as, dear? I gotta start thinking of that.
Oh yeah, I actually don't know. But that's in December. And we're a con crunch channel.
I would like to not for December because I think we're leaving the country right after we get back.
Oh, shit. Damn. Well, you know, we'll definitely unpack fully before we leave.
I think we will be using my military service to get us many luggages and leaving some luggage with my parents.
Luggages.
Yes, luggages.
Another one that I'm thinking about that isn't necessarily... themed, but is definitely a specific to the convention thing, is that Rhode Island Comic Con is actually directly or pretty much attached to the Providence Place Mall, built by the Mob, which is a fun fact that we love to tell everybody who has not been to Providence. Shout out to my Roach boys. Beef. No, I was going to say shout out to my boys, John, Eric, and Spencer.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our boys.
Who went to their first convention on the East Coast, I think, at Rhode Island Comic Con.
It was. It was their, yeah, it was.
And I think they really liked it over there. They said that Providence had, like, everything.
They very much liked Providence.
But they like Providence Place. Dude, they fucked with Providence Place heavy. Yeah. I know they did. That shit's fun. So, I don't know. You have to, that's where you come to realize that, like, conventions aren't isolated events.
Yeah.
Right?
And not just for like things to do, but also like for photos and videos. Like use your surroundings to your advantage, which is what happens at the Gaylord a lot. Like the Gaylord looks fancy. And so use that to your advantage. We did that with when we were staying for Anime Boston this year. We ended up in a very nice hotel.
Very schmoozy hotel. It was fun. There are also other activities that I did a little bit of research on that I've never heard of, but I'd be interested in participating in.
Do tell, dear.
Yeah, so I found out about one that seems really cool, but I don't have much more information on. I tried to find a video of it, couldn't find it. There are voice acting competitions.
Ooh.
Kineticon actually has a voice acting competition, I think, on Saturday. Yeah, which is...
Do you pre-enter?
I just saw like a promotion post, but Kineticon also doesn't have a schedule up, so I have no idea how this shit works. It's cool. A voice acting competition. I imagine you go up there and then you like have like a piece that you just want to like perform. I don't know if you're performing to an audience or if you're just performing to judges, but that's really cool. If that's something that you're interested in, just know that I know that Kineticon has it. Therefore, other conventions must also have it. In terms of miscellaneous stuff, we talked about Cosplay Death Battle. That's fun. That's exciting. But there are also other themed activities, like the one that... What was the one that you did again? I think we already talked about it. But what was it? Were you... Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's stuff like that at every convention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, like, maid cafes, Holiday Matsuri.
We've never been to a maid cafe.
For reasons.
But like, what is it?
It's people dressed up as maids serving you. Normally men.
Are the people that are serving you working for the convention or are they just regular?
They're normally volunteers.
Oh, okay.
They volunteer for the convention and that's like they up shifts. But sometimes they're cosplaying maid in character. Sometimes they're just playing maids themselves.
That's kind of interesting. It's not my vibe, but that's definitely a thing that we saw at Katsuki.
Check it out. It's also famously at Anime Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also stuff like tabletop board game places that you can play.
That's right. I was actually going to say that you could, at Kineticon, book a tabletop. I think you could do it now.
Yeah, you can book for like a D&D game, yeah.
Yeah, and you could just have that ready in the background. I don't know if that would be something that you would do during the day. I guess you can pick a time.
Yeah, there's normally like a time that you send it out and that you have it ready for, and then people can kind of walk in, walk out, play.
I could see benefit to you playing a D&D game dressed as a character at a convention.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I don't think that it costs very much.
It doesn't cost anything.
That doesn't cost very much.
But I think the other thing is, it's like going back to like the rated plus events, certain voice actors always put on the same events. Like J. Michael Tatum does voice acting After Dark.
Yes, that's right.
Which we've gone to, and it's so funny.
It's genuinely awesome. I didn't know that that was something that I'd be into until we went to it. And I was like, it's just like him and his buddies. Like, how's that going to be funny?
His husband.
Oh, and his husband was up there?
Yeah.
I did.
Brandon McGinnis.
Oh, man. All right. Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. But that explains the chemistry.
Why were they so like into each other? And they're married.
Because they're married.
And Danny and Dan will never stop talking about hottest men in anime at Holiday Matsuri.
Which we haven't been able to participate in because we've never been to Holmes.
We've never been. I don't know if we would really want to participate. Would you want to participate in hottest men in anime?
You're talking about me?
Yeah. It's not a drag anime. Show, basically. It's a strip show.
Then couldn't you do it?
Could. It's also a strip show, though.
Okay.
It's smexual.
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 I'd be all right. At the very least, maybe this is our first time doing it.
Like, I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's events like that. But I think the big thing for this episode is peruse the schedule. The week of a con, peruse the schedule.
The things that we talk about after conventions are usually like the things that we got up to, and then like we rate like the
con itself.
The con itself, Dealers Hall, the Artist Alley, stuff like that. Because those are the big things that I feel like everybody does. But these other activities are, I think, the things that to me make a convention memorable or not.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worthwhile exploring.
And on that note, I've been your consecutive and continuous host who is back from the coast.
Whoa. I've been really rad Ryan. I got right joy coming.
It's MJ. You can follow me on Instagram at CosplayCajun.
I'm Ryan.
And on TikTok. Oh, under see, the this same is why I
wait.
Thing.
This is why I wait.
You never know when it's coming.
That's not right.
And I can't help that. Watch my mouth and you'll see when I'm done talking. Stop staring at the lamp like you're a moth.
I can moth.
Say the outro so we can go.
And I'm Ryan. You can follow me on Instagram as RightJoyConRyan.
As always, Cosplay Con Crunch is a member of the Rocktopus Network of podcasts. You can find out more at rocktopusnetwork.com. Have a great 2 weeks, and we hope to hear you soon.